Hi there, it's Mark Figg, and welcome to the Hobbyist Hangout Podcast. This is a podcast all about hobbies, all the different hobbies that we have, and celebrating and talking about them along with you. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about one of my new favorite hobbies that I got into, which is using distressed oxide inks. It's a great mixed media product. A lot of people use these in card making, but I've been trying to use these inside of my bullet journal more after being inspired by some artist online. We'll talk about those in just a little bit. I do want to let you know that if you'd like to support this podcast, I'd love to have you do that. Head over to menwhobullet.com/podcast. There you can find out more information about previous episodes. I want to give a special shout out to both Sarah Choi as well as Kristen Bowler, who are both monthly supporters of the podcast. You can join them again by heading over to the website, menwhobullet.com/podcast, and giving your monthly donation of whatever you'd like. So let's get into today's subject. So I've tried a lot of different things in my bullet journal. I've tried stencils, I've tried watercolors, but there's a special someone on Instagram that I'm just completely obsessed with their account. Mom Run Craft. So April, who runs that account, she does amazing things in her bullet journal using distressed oxide ink. So if you're not familiar with distressed oxide ink, this is actually a product from Ranger and Tim Holtz. Tim Holtz is like a world-renowned card maker, mixed media art, distressed artist. He has so many different products as a part of his brand. But what I love about this distressed oxide ink is that it is a mix of dye and pigment, and it's water reactive. So it's supposed to be used kind of with water. But what's cool, and I think what I like the most about this, is that you can do a lot of different things with it. So people who use this for card making will stamp these right on the page. You can use stamps with those, like stamp onto the pad and then use them elsewhere. There's also different products that you can use. Like I have some in my box you can hear me shuffling around in. But these cool brushes, they're kind of like makeup brushes that you can use. And they come in different sizes. And you kind of rub that around on the ink pad. And then you can use that over top of stencils or to blend things together. And there's just something so nice about the way that this looks on paper that just gets me really excited about it. I went from just having one ink to now having, I don't know what I have, 4, 8, 12, 13. I don't know. I have probably some more other. I didn't go totally crazy, but like enough that my wife was like, I'm going to get you more distressed ink for Christmas because you seem to be enjoying it so much. And I have been. And I go in and out of using this in my bullet journal. It's one of those things where I'll be like, yeah, I've got some new stencils, some new textures or things that I want to create and use this with. And it's just been really fun. And there's so many different colors that you can get as well as a part of this. So I would say just look up distress oxide or like hashtag distress oxide and you'll see how people are using this. But it just looks so cool and it's so awesome. And so today I thought I'd talk a little bit about ways that I'm using it. And then, you know, maybe this can lead to some other hobbies, which it has. Stencil making. Who would have thought that I'd ever be doing that? So a big part of what I do on my bullet journal is I like to do weekly spreads and I like to find different ways to create different themes or different ideas. I'm not so much of a add-a-day planner, so I don't open up my journal and add stickers or stamps to it as the day goes on. I've just never been a person that can do that, even though a lot of the times I'm working from home and I have all my stationery here in the studio with me. I'm just not really a person that's like, oh, I did this today. Let me go grab a stamp. Let me put it into my page and, you know, celebrate what that is. I cannot bring myself to necessarily do that. My brain doesn't work that way. But I do like to set up my weeklies and kind of get a cool theme going. And I love finding inspiration online. I think it's really important as a creator to learn about what other people are doing out there, especially if you're getting into a new hobby. It's a really great way to like go way deep into the rabbit hole and just look on YouTube and look on Instagram and Pinterest and just find ideas, because a lot of the time that's what's sparking something that's going to interest you. And if you're the type of person like I am that has a crap ton of different hobbies that we're always going through, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, go down a rabbit hole sometime on one of your favorite topics and talk to us later about it. But I really do love the way that this looks. And what's cool about the distress oxide too, whether you're using it on a brush or a stamp, like I mentioned, it's reactive to water, which is really neat. So what I've done in the past too is I'll use my little brush and I'll get a color and then I'll use a stencil. Say it's like a label or a tag or something like that. I'm going to put the days of the week inside of it. I'll grab my color. I'll go ahead and use the stencil, tape it down with some washi tape and go over top of it. And then what you can do is you can take water, whether it's like in a small mist bottle. I actually just use a paintbrush and flick the water over top of it. I did get a little bit nervous when I did this the very first time in my bullet journal because, you know, paper and water don't always mix, especially when you're in like a notebook versus something like watercolor paper or something like that outside of it. I was like, oh gosh, this is going to bleed through the page. I'm going to be mad at myself about it. But I was extremely surprised when I found that it did not bleed through the page, even when I added water to it. I am using a Bullet Journal Edition 2, which is 120 GSM paper. It's a Leuchtturm notebook right now that I'm using. And I've also tried this in Archer and Olive notebooks. Those are 160 GSM paper, so even thicker. And it works just fine. And it looks so cool, especially when you're like blending colors or overlapping things together. I think it's really neat. And I've seen people do really amazing things with this with card making. I haven't tried it in my bullet journal just yet because I feel like it's a bit messy. But the videos I've seen online, people will take a distressed ink palette. And I see this happen. A lot of people must have like glass desktops or maybe glass areas they're using. And they literally will just take off their cap and just dab it all over their glass top, whatever they're using. And they'll put like two or three colors together, which always makes me nervous. Like, I'm like, oh gosh, your inks are going to start blending on your pad. Like, please don't do that. And then what they'll do is they'll take that squirt bottle or water and kind of spray it over top of the area, which kind of reactivates this ink in a different way. And then they'll lay a card over top of it. So you can get really cool like tie-dye looks on top of it. Or I see people do patterns or like they'll drag something through the ink and then print it almost, it seems like. It just seems like a really cool idea. The printing things I can't necessarily do in my bullet journal, but I have thought about it before. Like, what if I just sprayed down some ink on like a little glass cutting board or something and then like used a stamp and like stamped it over or some type of a texture or something like that? That could look pretty cool. If you head over to Mom Run Craft, if you head over to her Instagram, you'll see so much content around it. I mean, honestly, she was the one that got me, she influenced me to try this even more. She uses all different colors, a bunch of different stencils. I don't know how she fits it. Supposedly her notebook is an A5. I don't believe that it is. I think she's lying to us. I mean that in a non-serious way. I'm not that serious about notebooks, but she seems to have a lot of space, but I love it because she'll use a different type of print. She will stamp on top of it. She'll put her color down and then she'll work on top of it. That's what I love about it too, is it is kind of like you are stamping. It's not raised off the page at all. You can write over top of it when it's dry. It just creates such a cool looking page. And I'm always like really excited about different ways that you can use this inside of your bullet journal or card making or whatever it might be. Along with using the distressed oxide on paper in a journal using a stencil, people also use these to create tags of their own. So it's kind of like an inverse version of what I'm doing. Like I'm taking a stencil that looks like a tag, going over top of it with the ink, whereas other people already will have tags cut out or they'll create their own or whatever it is, and then do the same type of thing and then add on top of it. So you can get some really cool looking tags. I don't know what to do with those things though. Like I'm assuming inside of the distressed ink world or the card making world, a community that I don't know a whole lot about, people are using them in this way. Maybe they're creating their own gifts or putting it inside of, I don't know, a note. I don't know. What do you do with stuff like that? I always ask myself, I'm like, if I'm creating mixed media art, like what am I doing with it afterwards? And I always feel bad about it because I feel like people are creating and crafting and they should be able to. No one's telling them not to do that. But like, how would I use that or how could I use that? So I think a lot of the times like, okay, what are some other things that I could do with it? I have thought about getting into card making. A few of my friends do that already. I've come across a number of creators on Instagram that do that. One of my favorite creators, Ricky, he runs the account Romero Cards. He's always doing super cool things with his account and his cards. I don't know that I've ever seen him use distressed ink. I'm sure he is. I feel like everybody is at some point. But after seeing some of the stuff that Ricky was doing, I'm thinking, okay, like, I could make cards. I could do that. But then I go back to the same thing we talked about with the paper crafting. Like, what do I do with it afterwards? Like, do I give those cards away? Do I sell them? Is that going to lead me down another hobby? Maybe that's what I'm scared of the most, is that I'm going to like it so much that I'm going to be like, great, now I'm a card maker, and now I need to sell cards, and I need to create a new account, and I need to create a website for it. I just don't know that I'm there. I feel like, is there a way to like dab my toe in card making without going all in? And that's hard for me because I'm a serial hobbyist. And I'll be like, yep, that's my life now. I'm just making cards. Now, while I don't want to get into a new hobby of card making, one of the things that I did start to try and dabble around with because of a result of using the distressed oxide inks is actually making my own stencils. This was a whole thing that I haven't really done a whole lot of recently. Again, because of the way my brain works, I start doing something, I'm all in, it's the only thing I can think about. And I was like, okay, cool, I can go to the store and I can buy all these stencils, I can buy them from creators, they come a part of stamp sets, this is great, but like, what if I want something specific I can't find? And as a creative person, I personally feel like I can do anything. I have most of the craft things here in the studio. My wife is an art teacher. We have joint crafting items together. So I was like, okay, start researching, Mark, how to make your own stencils. And it turns out you can make them on a Cricut machine or any type of craft cutter machine. And all you need is like thick, kind of like Mylar, like milky Mylar. I forget the exact thickness of it, but I did try to do it. And it worked out pretty well. The thing is that I just don't know if I could keep up with it. So my background is as a designer, right? So I know how to use Illustrator and I know how to use a lot of these other design tools and things like that. And I was like, okay, what are some things that I can create? So, you know, we haven't used it in quite a long time. So I like dust off the Cricut machine and open it up, you know, plug it into a PC that I can find around here somewhere. And I'm like, okay, let's go to the creator studio and let's make something. I haven't been in there in so long, and it's really come a long way, which is really exciting. But there's also templates and free things that you can use inside of there too. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try it out. Let's see how this goes. And I found some just like blacked out images and put them onto my little area, cut out, you know, my Mylar to fit and cut it out. And I got a bunch of different items from it. And the thing is that I can do solid shapes really well because it's like, oh, you want a octagon? Cut out the octagon. Then I was like, okay, I want some cool looking stencils now. And they have more that are like a little bit more intricate. There was like a palm leaf and some other cool things. Anything leaves or botanicals, florals, plants, I'm all about it too. It's a whole other hobby going down that path as well. And I was like, all right, let's create that. But the problem is that they're very intricate, probably for a lot of like card making and cutting and things like that. Or one thing I didn't realize is that, you know, a stencil creation is a lot different than just cutting it out because it needs to be connected somehow. So there were still some shapes in there. I was like, well, I want to do this cool flame maybe. I don't think I did that, but like, let's say that. And you want to get like layers of it inside of it. Like you have to think about it. It's a really cool process oriented kind of craft, I think, is creating stencils and doing it that way. So I did. I created a few. I haven't made any in a few months now because I've kind of, I hit the high on my distress oxide. I created like a few weekly spreads and then I came back down to it. And then I was like, oh, I want to do a podcast about this because I'm so into it. And I haven't done a podcast in a bit of time. And I was like, okay, well, you know what, Mark, we said we were going to do this in the last one. Let's pull it out. And now I'm looking at all these colors and I went through all my stencils and I just got some new ones too. I'm like, okay, it's time to bring these guys back out. I have all these colors, some of them that are still unopened. Let's just get back into it because if it's something like you don't want to get into stamping necessarily, but this is kind of cool, you know, it's totally worth it. And the brushes are so soft too. It's like one of my favorite things. Like as I'm working, I'm like, you know, running my fingers down the brushes. I'm like, oh, this is also very soothing. You know, the idea of like brushing these onto the paper, it's so soft and it goes on so nicely. I'm like, I really like this. And it's relatively low mess. You know, you just need a paper towel and some water, because it reacts to water. You can easily wipe it off of something. It's not like using black ink and doing it that way. I don't know. Oh, I do have it inside of here. You'll only be able to see this if you're watching the YouTube or the Spotify video, but I have a brush that I use. And this was before I knew better, because with the Distress Oxide inks, when you use your brush on there, you can just rinse it under water and it comes right off. You know, there's not a lot of any color left over. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this with black ink. I'm going to try to do something cool. Just used a regular black ink pad, used my brush on it, went to go clean it off. And I'm like, oh crap, this brush is now stained black. It's fine because I can still use it with any color, but it just doesn't look as nice as some of my other ones. So it's one of those things where I was like, okay, I'm going to learn a little bit as I go through, like only use Distress Oxide with these brushes, not regular inks. It doesn't quite work the same way. And it's been really cool. I've had a lot of fun with it for sure and trying to get into it. I'm still trying to find new ways of using it though. You know, when you get really big into something and you're, you know, utilizing distressed inks or any type of product, right? You're like, okay, well, what more can I do with it? So I definitely want to explore instead of my bullet journal more. I think finding cool stencils and stamps to use in there is great. Then that's mostly the way that I'm going to use it in my bullet journal. You know, the way that April uses it is cool because she'll put down like a pattern first and then she'll use like a big number stamp to do a weekly over top of. And I love that juxtaposition of like a nice color and then using like a big thick black stamp over top of it with regular black ink. And you're like, yeah, this is looking cool. It pops off the page. So I just love finding inspiration online, and hopefully, you know, some people find inspiration through what I'm doing. I remember when I was recording a lot of content too and putting it up on the Men Who Bullet Instagram channel and Reels, and people were like, this is amazing, this is so cool, because it does look really neat when you do it, but it's not that hard to do yourself. So if you want to try it out, grab some distressed inks. I highly recommend it. I think it's very cool, but like grab one, just try one, and if you like it, you maybe buy like two, and the next thing you know, you'll have a whole bucket full of inks and, you know, ideas and things you want to try to do with it. So this is a pretty quick podcast, I feel like, today. It's a topic that I'm still learning a lot about, but wanted to share more with. And I also promised to cover this topic in the previous podcast that we did about pens. So it's always something new. I'm really excited, just to give you a little bit of a sneak peek forward, is when I first started this podcast, something that I wanted to do was to have more guests on the podcast. Actually, when I first started, I thought it was only going to be that. But at that point in time, I wasn't able to do that. I just didn't know that I had the technology to do it or the know-how to do it. So I've been educating myself a lot recently, which has been very cool, about doing it. And in the next bit of time, hopefully in, you know, the next podcast, if I can line things up the right way, I'll have a guest on. And I'm excited to do that because I feel like, while I have no problem just talking, as I've been doing on this podcast so far, I like talking to other people and I love learning more about what they like about a hobby or what got them into it. And especially if they're well-known people, whether it's on Instagram or YouTube, that we can talk to about different topics. I think it's fun. But definitely knowing like, okay, here's what you're known for. I actually want to dig deeper. Like, what are your hobbies and what are you getting into now? Or like, what's exciting for you? So we'll be asking a lot of those questions. I have about 3 or 4 guests. I just have to get one of them to line up with schedules and make it all work. But I'm excited to do that in the future. I appreciate you hanging out for the podcast today. So like I said, a bit of a quick one, just talking about distress oxides and different ways you could be introduced to them or use them online and do things. It's really exciting. And again, just want to shout out and thank both Sarah and Kristen, who are both monthly supporters of the podcast. And you can become a monthly supporter too and get a shout out. Just head over to menwhobullet.com/podcast. There's a button there for you to become a monthly supporter. We'd love to have you. And it's always fun and exciting. And if you like this podcast too, make sure to give it a star rating on your favorite podcast platform of choice. I always love to read those and go through those and see what you're liking about the podcast. And don't forget, if you want to watch a video version of this, if you're not already doing that, there's 2 places for you to do that. You can do it on Spotify, a video podcast on there. And also I put this podcast on YouTube. So if you're watching there too, you get to see my face and we talk about some of the products. But knowing that not everyone does that, I like to describe exactly what it is or what it looks like. So don't feel like you have to, but definitely there if you want it to be. I really appreciate it. Again, thank you so much for hanging out for the Hobbyist Hangout podcast. And I can't wait for the next episode. Pretty excited about it. I'll talk to you very soon. Bye.